Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is toward the end of all these things where before Moses dies and those things, and before Joshua takes the children of Israel into the land of Canaan that's been promised to them and that they balked at for 40 years. And because when they got there before at Kadesh Barnea, they came back with an evil report, with all the exception of Joshua and Caleb, and of everybody of that besides Moses. Well, actually, Moses died too before he went in, because he wasn't allowed to go in. So Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were 40 years and up, that were over 40 years, that got to go into the land of Canaan. Everybody else died in the wilderness because of their unbelief and their rebellion against God. And I believe that was an 11-day journey turned into 40 years because of unbelief. And so he's recounting in chapter 5, he's recounting recounts to them the covenant that God made with them and the Ten Commandments that God had issued them, the law that God had issued them at that time. And so when you get to verse 22, after Moses recounts the Ten Commandments, he says in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 22, "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that had heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have, and lived? Go thou near, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded, ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." Now, Father, thank you for the scriptures that you've given us, and thank you, Lord, and help me to be a blessing and to speak clearly and in such a manner as to be understood. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, I'm going to focus on verse 32 primarily, and that one phrase, observe to do. But I want you to notice something here about Israel. You know, we know the history of Israel, don't we? We know the history of Israel, and we see what they did and how they failed God. But here they're at a point, they're at a crossroads. And Moses is reminding them of the day where they themselves got to see the glory of God upon the mount. Obviously not his full glory, but they got to see the mount burn with fire, and they got to, in the thick darkness and the smoke and everything, they got to see the mountain burn, and they got to hear the voice of God himself speaking to them from heaven. And they said, "Whoa, that's an amazing thing. We've seen where God speaks to man and he lives by God's mercy." Right? And then what did they turn around and do? They said, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. In other words, we've heard God speak and we're alive, but now we're afraid we're going to die. Now, why is that? I mean, if you were going to die, let me just ask you a question. If you were going to die physically in talking to the Lord, and you were one of the Lord's chosen, wouldn't that be a good thing to go be with the Lord? To go to paradise? But they're worried about their physical life, this life on the world, where they're at. And you know, that's the way people are. And the closer you get to God, the less you care for the physical life and the things down here, other than to do the will of God while you're here. The less precious this life becomes, and the more precious the world to come, the life to come, becomes. Because what? You laid up your treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither do thieves break through and steal. They just heard God speak, and they say, "No, we don't want to hear him speak anymore. You go speak to him, Moses, and you come back and tell us what he said, we'll do it. We don't want to hear God tell us, you go." By the way, that's human nature. That's fallen human nature. They want somebody else to get close to God. And you know, the convenient thing about when somebody else gets close to God and then becomes your mouth, God's mouthpiece to you, when you get tired and when the flesh rises up, you just blame the person you appointed as your mouthpiece. People blame the preacher. They blamed Moses, didn't they? "Oh, you brought us out here to kill us. We should have stayed in Egypt." You take too much on yourself, seeing all the congregation is holy. Now think about that. Think about Korah and those that rebelled and came up and said that all the congregation is holy, and so you're no better. These are the people that said, "Moses, you go spend time with God. Now, if you spend time with God, it will make you more what? Holy." Right? And you come back, talk to us. We don't want to talk directly to God. We want you to talk to God for us. So then they come back and say, "Well, we're all just as holy as you are." That don't make a lot of sense, does it? Now, in a positional sense, certainly. But in a practical sense, were they more holy than Moses and Aaron? No. Moses and Aaron were doing what God appointed them to do. And the people had already abrogated their right to speak directly to God. They were afraid of what might happen if they got too close to God. And by the way, you have a whole bunch of people who are afraid of what might happen if they get too close to God. They're afraid of what mama's going to say. They're afraid of what daddy's going to say. They're afraid of what their friends are going to say. They're afraid of what their brother and sister's going to say. They're afraid of what their boss is going to say. They're afraid of what, just go down the line, what the government's going to say. But after he tells them all these things, and he tells them, God, in verse 29, he expresses, he said, oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children. God's looked at their heart and says, man, I wish their heart was right. I wish they had a heart to just trust me and believe me, that my way is the right way and that their way is the wrong way, so it could be well with them and their children forever. This is what I want. And then finally, in verse 32, after he tells them all that, he said, ye shall observe to do, therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded, ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land, all right, which ye shall possess. Now, if we go over to the book of James, the Bible tells us something that we ought to pay attention to. Get over to the book of James. And he says this in verse 13, he said, verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So he's telling them that I'm giving you all these things, and you need to observe to do. Observe to do. Now, to observe something means to become familiar with it. To observe something, right? But he says observe to do. To observe something means to honor it. All right, we recently, back in May, we had what? Memorial Day. And here in July, we had Independence Day, right? And so we have holidays that we observe. All right? Most people with Memorial Day, they think, start a vacation, summer. With Independence Day, they think, barbecue, fireworks. But Memorial Day and Independence Day are not about summer vacation and the start of summer, the start of the vacation season. They're not about fireworks and barbecues and all that. They're about freedom. And the men who died and gave their life's blood to procure it. And so we can observe them or we can do them. We can live free. We can stand. We can honor. We can actually do that. How many people take time to actually give thanks for those people who died? Going all the way back to the American Revolution. We've got people that are totally ignorant. They're rewriting the entire history. And because people observe it by name, but they don't do it. And it's the same way with God's Word. A lot of times we observe it, we talk about how wonderful it is, and we talk about it, and we give it honor and everything, but we don't do it. And there's where we fail. That's where the children of Israel fail. I want to just share with you for a few minutes here, when we look at that, I want to share with you how many times God said that specific phrase. Kind of interesting, I looked it up, and he said in Deuteronomy 6:3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. It will be our righteousness. Deuteronomy 8:1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Deuteronomy 11:32, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. By the way, that's all the days that you live upon the earth. That doesn't mean while you're young and then throw it off and leave it to somebody else when you get older. Deuteronomy 12:32, whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Deuteronomy 15:5, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of thy Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee these days. Deuteronomy 17:10, and thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priest and the Levite shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the Lord, voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Deuteronomy 28:58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 31:12, gather the people and the men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46, are you seeing a pattern to the book of Deuteronomy? Are you seeing a theme? And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 37, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which we wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And finally, in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 8, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, if they will observe to do all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. So Israel, and that, you know, I could use other forms of that. Obviously, there are other forms of that particular commandment. But notice he talks about observe to do, that it may be well, that you might have success, that you might be able to go on to all these things. In other words, you observe these things, you give them their proper place, but you don't just set them up on a pedestal to be honored from afar. Where Jesus told, when Jesus walked the earth and he talked about the children of Israel, he quoted the Old Testament, he quoted Isaiah, I believe it was, it said, Isaiah or Jeremiah, I'd have to go back and double check it, but he quoted them and said that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So they lifted it up and they honor it and they talk about it. And boy, we sit here today and as Bible-believing independent fundamental Baptists, we say, praise the Lord, we have God's Word, KJV 1611. Amen?
Amen.
We've got the book. We've got the Bible. We've got the Word of God. God preserved His Word. We have it today. That's wonderful. But do we observe to do? That's what we have to do. That's what makes the difference. When we talk about giving, forgiving, loving, soul winning, everything that we talk about, we're talking about not just lifting God's Word up on a pedestal, but observing to do. The focus of reading the Bible is to learn to do it and seek God's grace to do it. A lot of times we look, it's comfortable. By the way, let me just say this. It's comfortable for us to do that, to give this Bible, the Bible, the Word of God, a place of honor. And because we failed, we comfort ourselves in that we give it a place of honor. It's kind of like Memorial Day. The government makes it a national holiday, and the schools get closed, right? And the post office doesn't run, and most businesses give you time off, and especially any business. You know, a lot of the major businesses give you time off, and particularly or Independence Day, they give you time off, and so you take the time off from work, but then you never give a thought or show gratitude about the people that died, the people that gave, or thankfulness for living in a nation where you're free. There's no gratitude in your heart. There's nothing there. It's just, hey, I got a day off from work. I can go do what I want to do. I can have a barbecue. I can go fishing. I can do this. I can do that. And not that there's necessarily anything wrong. I like barbecues and I like fishing. That's not the point of the day, is it? You can barbecue fish any other day. And I'm not saying you can't barbecue and honor people the same way. But the fact is, how many people actually do? How many people actually do? The same way with the Word of God. We like to put it up in a place of honor and observe it. But the only way it becomes effectual, the only way it makes a difference in our lives is if we observe to do. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And we look at how we failed, and so we kind of just give up, but we hold it in high esteem, right? We treat it like it's unattainable. And it's not unattainable. Especially for us who have the Holy Spirit living in us. If you're truly born again, if you truly know Christ as your Savior, and God's Spirit dwells within you, you have everything necessary to do what you're supposed to do. Because the Bible says what? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close and take a break before the morning preaching. Father, I just pray that you would help us to simply observe to do your Word. That we'd study the Word of God and the intent of our heart would be to not just honor it and not just check a box, but to actually do it, to become what we're supposed to be. Help us, we pray, in that regard. And we thank you for all you've given. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.